Take a Bible, take a Bible. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe everything written in it.
I believe everything.
I am what I am.
I am what I am.
I am what I am.
What I am.
By this word.
By this word.
This word.
This word.
This word.
This word.
Shall never depart.
Shall never depart.
Out of my mouth.
I shall meditate in it.
Oh Lord,
today,
if you want to speak to me,
speak to me.
If you want to rebuke me,
rebuke me.
In Jesus'
name,
amen. Hallelujah. Now, take a Bible, open a Bible in the book of Timothy. And I'll be talking about fighting the good fight of faith. Say, the good fight of faith. Say it again. Say, the good fight of faith. Say it again. How many believe in the power of the Holy Ghost? Can I see the hands up? In Hot D, are you there? In Overflow, are you there? In the main hall, are we here? We have the good fight of faith. Say, the good fight of faith. Say it again. I want to hear somebody shouting the good fight of faith. Which means there's also another kind of fight, which is a bad fight of faith. Now, let's go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible reads, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Find the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Turn about, fight the good fight of faith. Say it again. Say it again. Now, I want to tell you something which is very important. All right? We have had people who have described faith in different definitions. All right. Now we have Christians today who are here tonight because of the same purpose, faith. Say faith.
Faith.
I can't hear you.
Faith.
Listen, the Bible says faith without works is dead. Then the Bible says, show me your faith, I will show you my works. You know, that moment when Paul was writing, when he said, show me your faith, I will show you my works. It wasn't Paul speaking. It was God's spirit. It was God speaking. That the moment you just show God faith, he will demonstrate the works. It says, the Bible says, even demons believe there is God. And they tremble. So we may have everyone here saying they have got faith and they believe in God. Everybody here saying, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. Wow, we praise God for your faith. But even demons believe there is God. Oh, am I talking to someone right here? So the faith that I'm talking about here, it is the faith of results. Faith that works. Not just the faith by a definition, by the word faith. But I'm talking about faith that can produce. Now, I know you have been believing for so many times. You have had faith for so many times. But tonight you're going to get faith which shall produce results. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here, right? I'm saying tonight you're going to get the faith. Not just faith. But when you shall apply it, my goodness. When you shall say there is money in my bank account, there shall really be money in your bank account. Whoa, hallelujah. Without faith, it would be so impossible for you to acquire heaven. It is by faith that we are saved. Hello? We have people in the church who the devil all the times tells them they are sinners. All the times. I have seen when I was at school, I dropped some subjects. Why? Because all my friends and all my teachers used to say that subject was difficult for me. Now, when one tells you, when the devil keeps on telling you that you're a sinner, you can drop Christianity because the devil tells you you can't make it. Did you hear that? So when the devil tells you that your faith is not producing results, you have been praying for so long, but nothing is changing in your world. The moment the devil whispers that word in your mind, and I have many people here I can see in the spirit who the devil is whispering to them. He said, nothing's changing. Look now. Nothing's changing until now. Look now. The devil's whispering to you. That's the devil. But listen to me. That's why tonight I want to teach you this. The faith. Come on. Tell me about the faith. When God said, fight the good fight of faith, that tells you that faith is not just something that you wear it or you just put it on. It is a thing you fight for. There is a contention in the spiritual realm. Oh. Apostle Paul said, I'm perplexed between two sides. I'm put between two sides. Now, when you are fighting, you know, am I talking to somebody right here? Are you hearing? Are you hearing somebody? Are you hearing? Say faith. Now. Because tonight, what I want to teach you, I don't want you when you leave here to pray for something and it takes days and days before it happens. No. I want you as you pray, receive the kind of faith. Say Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? This is the most interesting subject. You may get a prophecy. You may get healing. You may get deliverance. But they shall all be kept by faith. I have seen people being delivered. And 2 days later, the same demon is in them again. The same situation they were delivered from. It is hunting them again. Why? Because they didn't know how to maintain it by faith. So faith, it is a thing we fight. Now, you know, I want healing, all right? And I pray for you. Come, you are healed. And you go home, you are healed. All right? The Bible, don't forget the Bible says when the demon comes out, they don't just come out like that. The Bible says they come back to check. Now, imagine I cast the demon of poverty out of you. It gets out of you in the church. You go home, then the demon comes back to check. Then to bring some financial problems again in your life. You'll be like, oh my God, I thought I'm delivered. Just that statement, it now stays again. Say, wow, this is what we're looking for. That's what the Bible says, rebuke the devil. Come on, look what you said, rebuke the devil. Now, so where does this battle take place? When does this whole war happen? Now, this war takes place in your mind. Now, your mind, it is the war field. It is the war arena. That's where your faith fights. Are we there?
Yes.
Are we there?
Yes.
Now the Bible says, find a good fight of faith. How many here, they have moments and times where they prayed for something, and the more they prayed for it, the more worse it became. Can I see the hands up? Drop down. Do you know some people think, I was talking to somebody yesterday on the prayer mountain. I told somebody, I said, you, there is no way you may think you may be casting demons, destroying the devil's kingdom, and think the same devil once sent the same demons to come and destroy you. What you destroy is what the devil uses to destroy you. Oh, did I hear? Did I hear something? Oh, are you hearing me? What have I said? If you are in the battlefield, if you are shooting soldiers, it is the same soldiers who shoot you back. Tell your neighbor, be very careful. So you are in a house, in the name of Jesus, I command every demon. And demons will be like, huh? Okay. And we're going to leave, and they leave, and the devil says, all right, this person is casting us out. And the devil says, send more demons to fight that person. That's what the Bible says, be strong. The Bible says a lot of times, say, be strong. Oh, am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes.
Be what?
Strong.
Be strong. Now, I want you to look at this. I want you now to take Christianity as a fight. Because some of you have taken Christianity as a religion. But don't take it in that point. Look at Christianity as a fight. The Bible actually says, fight the good fight, which means there's a bad fight. And most Christians are fighting a bad fight, and they think they're fighting a good fight. And the wonder things are not changing because they're fighting a wrong fight of faith. But the moment you realize and know the good fight of faith, that's what Apostle Paul said, I don't want to beat the air. Apostle Paul said that. He said, beating in the air. There are people who beat the air. You are busy beating in the air. Wrong position. Hello? Wrong what? You are missing the target. I went for hunting. And I was with my sons here, and I went for hunting. And I looked at this animal. And if I miss, the animal's going to run. Ah, you're not even hearing. And I asked the guy who took us for the hunting, and I said, how many bullets you have? He said, only 3. Oh. Only what? And I take the gun and I look, oh, of course, the major can't miss. And when I looked at it and shot the gun, it was moving. So I didn't exactly miss, but I hit the leg. At least you should say congratulations. Now, I hit the leg and the animal began to run a long distance. And now it went very fast, so we were looking for it until we found it somewhere hiding. And I took another, so I'm having 2 bullets remaining. And this guy's like, how did you miss? How did... The guy who was with me, as if he could have shot it.
Yeah.
And now this time around, and I shoot again. And the animal was like, it's running away. It's like, ah, you missed it again. Only to see it falling down. It was shot on the heart. Now, wait. Why am I telling you this? I know you will not say congratulations, I know. Now, why am I saying this? Oh, are you here, you're home? Why am I telling you this? Because when I attach this story of shooting the animal with this teaching, you will never forget this teaching again. Oh, I think you didn't even hear. Each time you're going to remember about, oh, Major was shooting, you will remember this teaching. Now, hear this. So when you are fighting, all right, I didn't miss the target. I took the target. Make sure when you are praying and your prayer, it is directed to the same. Oh. Look what I'm going to say. Do not fight a bad fight of faith. No, I can't hear you. I can't hear you properly. How many wants to know about the good fight? Can I see the hands up? Now, hear this. Can I go ahead now? One time in the passing, I did mention something similar to what I'll be teaching you tonight. But first of all, you must understand, the day you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you were made another person. I have seen people who are waiting for God to fight for them. Did you hear that? Yet God looks at you as his soldier. Listen, the whole meaning of prayer, the whole meaning of prayer, it is there because God has to rely on you to pray for him to do it. Did you hear that? Somebody came to me and said, Major One, why are you fasting? Why? Why? You have money, you are rich, you have a big church, God uses you, you can prophesy, you can do healing. Why are you fasting? At least could have just done 10 days or 8 days. I said, that's the difference. Some of us, we don't seek God because we want him to do something for us. We seek him because we are with him. Tonight we have some people here who are here just because they want something from God. Did you hear that? God doesn't give his things to anyone. That's a problem. He does not give his blessings to anyone. And God does not hear prayer of a sinner. The only prayer of a sinner that God hears is, God, forgive my sins. What have I said? The only prayer that God can hear of a sinner is when you say, God, forgive my sins. Then he can forgive your sins. That's the prayer God can hear. When he has forgiven your sins, then he can hear any prayer you can pray. So we have people who come to church as if they're trying to consult to a witch doctor or a sangoma. And just come to church like this and sing down like this. So when a Major One doesn't prophesy, they'll be like, oh my God, yo, what? You need counseling. Let's start. Take your Bibles. I'm going to teach you three things. And I would really want you to have your Bible in your hand. And at the moment, I want to share with you people who are not allowed to go in the battlefield. It's a battlefield. Say it again. Say it again. How many here are soldiers of Christ? How many? And how many says I'm fighting? How many say I'm fighting? And how many says I'm a casualty? Okay. Let's look so righteous like this until I teach you. How many are wounded soldiers? Wounded. You know wounded? There is a soldier, but with a wound somewhere. They have been shot with a bullet. One leg, the way I shot the animal. All right, so we have some of you here who are God's soldiers, who you are not supposed to go into the battlefield. Every Christian is a soldier. Some of you, you are not supposed to be called soldiers. It's either you belong to the devil or never be called God's soldier. Listen to me. Are we here?
Yes.
You are fighting and you are losing all the times. You are praying. I know the more you are praying, the more the situation worse it is becoming. Why? Because you don't know how to fight the battle. There is no any war in my life I've ever lost. I challenge you. And never would I. That's why I'm called Major One. It's not medals. It's not just a title. Bring every war around me. I will handle it easily. Say me too. Are you sure? Now, so we have some soldiers who are supposed to be in the battlefield and some soldiers who are not supposed to be in the battlefield. As I said, this is a fight. You are this side, the enemy is that side, he's shooting and you are shooting. And see what's happening around your life. Just check around what's happening. You know, when I see some Christians all the time telling me, oh, Papa, I don't know what's happening with me. I look at them and like serious? Nothing's moving. I'm like serious? You are lazy. You sleep when the enemies are shooting you. You pray in the blanket. Look at you. You're in a blanket. Oh, Father God, you know I'm tired and I know you understand me. Do you think when the devil and the demons wants to hit you, they hit you from their blankets? Oh, God, you know I'm tired. And you actually literally sleep in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. God, every enemy, every demon, in Jesus' name, Father, I bind every demon. I lose it. Yourself, you are binding yourself, you are losing it. Now the demon is loose not to attack you well now. You had just put it under bondage and you are freeing it again. I bind every demon in Jesus' name. I loose it. I loose you. And you go like, oh, in Jesus' name, Father, pray. Let me be serious now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. You know, Father, I pray. You end up sleeping on your Bible. You wake up, your whole Bible is wet with the saliva. You are saying you're fighting a good fight. And you are wondering why the devil is intensifying himself against you. And you keep on asking a question yourself, why am I not progressing? Why am I not getting married? You are crazy and foolish in capital letters. Tell your neighbor, major's talking about you. Is it not amazing? Is it not amazing to see yourself very fluent on WhatsApp, not even wanting to sleep, but on the Bible, 5 minutes you're already dozing? Is it not amazing to see yourself on a movie, 1 hour, 2 hours watching the whole movie, remembering the whole newspaper you read, and you can't remember the verse you read in the morning? All right, this Bible, you see the way I'm holding it. If you open it and you are reading it, what happens is this Bible is so spiritual than you think. It knows when you are reading in the spirit or in the flesh, because it is a living word. It is alive. Haven't you seen sometime you're reading the Bible, all of a sudden you find it is closed and you have put it somewhere and you are thinking other things? You find you're reading the Bible, how sometimes it's closed, you don't even realize, you find it's closed and it's somewhere. It's not you closing it. It closes itself. It knows you are hearing or not. I'm talking to somebody. When you are in the flesh and you are reading the Bible, the way you will find that you have stopped reading the Bible, you will not even understand. But you just find out that you are no longer reading the Bible, because it closes itself. Are you here? Are you here, somebody? Are you here, somebody? Are we together or you are home? Are we together? Now, the following people are not supposed to go to the war. Number one, people who are spiritual wives. Spiritual wives. Not the demon wife. There are people who behave like a wife in the spirit. Just write down. Joshua 1, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Are you there? From verse 12. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half of the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you in the side Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Now, in this context, the Bible says, wives must not go for war. Little ones must not go for war. And the cattle or the livestock. Now, we're going to start with the wives. Say wives. Spiritually, we may have a man who is a born again in the spiritual field, yet spiritually God considers him as a wife. Look what your neighbor and say, are you a wife? I'm not talking about a wife to your husband. I'm talking about a character of a wife. Now, God does not allow wives to go for war. Now, for you to understand who are wives, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Anyone with King James Version, can you read verse 25 together? 1, 2, 3, go.
Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful.
All right. Verse 34. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in the body and in the spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Say wives. Now, Joshua said wives are not supposed to go in the battlefield. Who are wives? Wives are people who are married to the things of the world, who they want to please God. At the very same time, they want to please the things of this world. They are called spiritual wives. Spiritually, they are married to other things. Oh, are you here? If you know you are married to the world, you are not a candidate of war. That's why you are called a casualty. Say wives.
Wives.
Say it again.
Wives.
I can't hear you.
Wives.
Wives. Wives are people who all the times they are supposed to please a husband, and at the very same time, they must please the things of the world. Have you ever seen a wife, a real wife? Hey. Have you ever seen a physical wife to a husband? Maybe you don't know a wife, or you are a wife, but you don't know who is a wife. A wife, a husband all the times has to be pleased. If he's not, she's in trouble. That is, if he really she's a wife, because some are not wives, some are knives. A wife submits. And don't forget, others are wives, and others are? I never said that, you said it yourself. I said it for the first time, for the second time, it is you who has said it. So we have wives. And a wife is a person who submits. And she makes sure all the times she pleases her husband. Now the Bible compares a virgin and a wife. It says a married and unmarried. It says somebody who is not married, who is a virgin, cares the things of the Lord. But somebody who is married, even if she's not hungry, but she's supposed to cook for somebody to eat. Oh, you didn't hear that one? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? So a wife is a person who is involved in two lives. Now the Bible says the married and the unmarried. Now I want you to look at this. We have Christians who part partly they're committed to the things of God, and partly they're committed to the world. How to please the world. Hello? The biggest mistake ever a Christian can commit is to make his friend happy and God angry. Did you hear that? So we have Christians who are in the battlefield, yet they are divided. They are in the church here, but their mind is far away, thinking what they're passing through. The Bible says that these people honor me with their mouth, but their mind and their hearts are far away from me. So they'll be in church. Let's pray. Everybody's praying and they're thinking, so what's going to happen if Major does not prophesy to me? Look at your neighbor and say, wives are not allowed. Say it again. For you to know that this verse is so spiritual is when he said even cows. He said cattle. Now, hear that statement. If Joshua meant the physical cattle, could we say he meant in those days they were getting cattle into the battlefield? Can you get a cow into a battlefield? But why is he standing and say, all cows must not go into the battlefield? So this is not the physical battle. In those days, women were not going into the battlefield. But why is he standing and say, wives must not go to the war? Why is he standing and saying, cattle, cows must not go into the battlefield? Why is he involving livestock as if livestock can go for war? So this was not the physical one. He means a spiritual term here. There's a spiritual definition behind the verse. So the first group of people who are not supposed to go to the battlefield are wives. And the second group are the livestock. Say livestock. Livestock are not supposed to go into the battlefield. Who are livestock? Do you know livestock? Animals we keep at home? Cows, the mama, everything. Everything they complain. Oh, anything. Ever seen a cow? You whip it, oh, you don't, oh, any time, 24/7. Oh, every time, oh. We have people here all the time that are complaining. I don't know why I'm passing through this. I don't know. Hey. For them to say, listen to me. For them to remember what God has ever done to them, they don't. For them to remember they were once sick and they were healed, they don't. For them to remember they were once sent to school by God and God paid their school fee, they don't. That they are living in a house, God pays for them and they don't even know how. But they're still, years are going, they're still living in a house. How God pays their rentals, they don't even know. But it's a miracle. They can't say, God, you do this for me. You do all the times when you meet them, the only thing they do, oh, all the times, 24/7. These people are not supposed to go into the battlefield. Am I talking to somebody right here? If you are in the battlefield, and then the commander says, move this way. You're like, oh, no. No, I'm tired. They'll shoot you. Not your enemy. Your fellow soldiers will point a gun on you and shoot you. Tell them, I say, mumbling too much. All the times, complaining. Come on, you are a Christian. You're not supposed to be complaining. No matter how hard your situation may be, confess positive things. Keep on talking and declaring. Whether somebody likes it or not, I'm gonna make it. This is my year in the name. name of Jesus. I don't know why. Whether that's going to work. I just don't know. You have so many questions in your mind. A lot of questions in your mind than answers. You just don't. Oh, why boyfriends leave me? Oh, my God. All the times questions. All the times you're complaining. Come on. You are a soldier. You don't have to complain. Rise up on your feet in your house and begin to declare. Somebody came to me and he kept on complaining all the times I'm meeting. Oh, you don't understand what I'm passing through. I said, son, I also had the same situation like yours. I spoke positive things. I walked out of the same problem. Say, Mamaling. Say, you too much, especially you, you're a suspect. Say, every cow, no to the battlefield. Ask them, are you one? Are you a cow? The Bible says, no life in stock must go for war. So I'm just wondering. Tell anybody, I'm just wondering. There are people here who says, Major, I can't lie, I complain too much. I have so many questions. Really, I have... Can I say, I know some of you, you're going to look so spiritual for now. You want to raise up your hands, but I want people who honestly can raise up their hands saying, yes, my situations make me think a lot and complain too much. Now, you know why you have been losing? Do you know why I've been losing the battle? Complaining too much. Complaining. No matter how I go through, you will never see me complaining. Never. Say never.
Never.
We don't mama. We overtake. We partake. We pursue. All the time. Oh my God, I just don't know why. Whether it's a sickness or disease, do not complain. Come on, I said, do not what?
Complain.
Imagine the Holy Spirit comes to you and they say, take the gun now, go into fasting. You're like, oh my God, you are busy complaining. It's like you're in the battlefield, the commander, the Holy Spirit is telling instructions. Instead of you doing instructions, you are busy what? Complaining. Oh, more. The Holy Spirit says, rise up, declare, speak. You are like, I just don't know why I'm passing through this, you know. This is the first time, you know. I just don't know when it's going to happen, you know. Come on. You are not supposed to mama. Your mouth is not for mumbling. It is for creation. It is to create the Ionicosimos. So not my mouth. When the enemy comes and begins to give you some things to think, you just have to stand up and decide to rebuke you, the devil. I am not poor. I am rich in the name of Jesus. Turn about too much mumbling. You are a cow, a livestock. Hallelujah. Let's just look at a cow, okay, before we continue. Is there any battle that has ever fought with a person and it ever won? It's always butchered. Every battlefield the cow ever went, eventually it was butchered. And God says, all the cows, not for war. You're a suspect. Teneba, are you a livestock? Why all the times you are, all the times complaining? People can mama. Too much complaining. Too much. You, come on. Do you know who you are? The Bible says you are peculiar people. You are chosen generation. You are from the royal priesthood. No need to mama. No need to complain. Instead, you must decree, you must declare. So I'm gonna fight back. So where is the devil now? Overflow, are you there? Hodi, are you there? Say Jesus. No need to comp all the times. You actually have stress and depression because of a boyfriend. You are foolish. He didn't call me for 2 days. What's wrong? He didn't call me for 2 days. He didn't call me. It's been 2 days now. He's not picking my calls. Are you crazy? Simple things like that. If you want to make him call you, he can call you just by saying Lekuva Supraniya. Understand, you don't understand. You understand what? Why?
He's not picking my calls. Ah,
cows, you're a cow. This fact of faith, you're not supposed to be part of it. Crying because they didn't pick you for an interview. Under depression. Tell your neighbor, no. That's a wrong battle. Say you're fighting a wrong one. Tell your neighbor, the devil is playing around with you. Now, you see, the bank says they want to repossess your car. The whole night you are thinking. Why? Haven't you seen the Bible? When Peter was arrested and he was in jail, the Bible says he was told, we were going to kill you tomorrow morning. And the same prison, they had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. The same prison, they put Peter in jail. And they tells him, they're going to kill him in the morning with a sword. But the Bible says he was sleeping. If it was you being told you are, we're killing you tomorrow morning, the whole night binding. Haven't you heard or haven't you read? The Bible says Peter and Silas, when they were put in jail, told we are killing you in the morning, they didn't pray. All they did, the Bible says, they praised God the whole night. And God suddenly sent an earthquake, shook the prison, opened the doors. Everyone there, including the guards, received Jesus Christ. Why are you stressing when they tell you they will repossess your car, they will repossess your house? Why are you stressing when they say they will leave you, when they say they're going to walk out of your way? Why are you stressing, brother? Get into your house. Rakatasata, rataya, mentaya base, katoye besito, randeve hekete. What you are fighting is not faith. I don't know what it is. I just don't know. Faith does not murmur. Faith does not depress. Faith does not complain. Faith does not cry.
Oh, yes.
Faith does not worry.
Oh,
faith
yeah.
is never dismayed.
Oh, yeah.
Faith declares Jesus' name. I change the situation. I change the situation. In the name of... What you're fighting for is not faith. I'm telling you, it is something else. It's another animal, not faith. Faith does not worry. Faith does not complain. Faith does not fear. Faith does not cease. Faith does not run. Faith does not murmur. Faith conquers. Faith declares. Faith overtakes. Faith. Oh my goodness, I feel. Mezendo Fahakadeya.
I receive.
Say faith.
Faith.
Talks.
Talks.
Never cries.
Never cries.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know? I've got this crazy faith. It is too crazy. I love problems to prove to them that they are useless. They can rise 1 million against me, but I and the faith would defeat all of them. There's nobody here who has got faith more than me. Call it pride. I receive. Apostle Paul said, I can speak in tongues more than you all. I have got faith. If you think I've got too much faith, look at somebody and tell them their name at the public and hold their microphone on TV, on prophetic channel, and let's see if it is their name. It takes faith to hold a microphone and say, you stand up and tell somebody your house number is this, your name is this. It takes faith. You think it just happened? Never. I look at you and I hear a name and I'm like, oh yeah, you stand up. And I'm like, actually your name is... At least if you prophesy about the world, when you say tomorrow it will rain, the world can't just say you're lying. It is the world. But a human being is standing there. You say your name is Joshua. The person says, it's true. And you say, can I go to your house? There are 4 eggs. You. Why if he has no fridge in the house? Try your faith. Just to continue and tell them the name of their mother. You are not even trying, you see. You have no faith. That's a problem. You are supposed to try faith. You are supposed to turn and mention it. You can't. You are afraid. You are like, oh my God, Major. Say faith. Say it again.
Faith.
I can't hear you.
Faith.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Turn number faith. So, number one, wives are not supposed to go for the battlefield. And number two, livestock. Number three, little ones. Say little ones. Say little ones. These are not little people. When Joshua was saying this statement, do you think before little children were allowed to go for the war? So why was he saying that? So it's not the physical little children. It is spiritual. Who are little children? Little children can be actually 80 years of age, yet spiritually, they are young. They are little. I may be young in age, but spiritually I'm not. Actually, I can tell you the day you were born and what happened the day before you were born. Are you there? You'd be like, oh, this young man, what can he tell me? This young man, my friend, actually, I know the day your mother got pregnant of you. And where? Now, hear this. Who are little ones? Little ones are people who they think they know much about Jesus, yet they don't. They think like they've grown up spiritually, yet they are not. And little people in the things of God, they can actually oppose prophets. And I feel so much bad to see people who are under a church whose pastor hates the prophets. It's like a child is raising another child. A matured man of God can never oppose prophetic.